Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Worldwide. Heavyweight class. It's Lewis Heaton. Whiskey Bynum. It's the boxer Rush Hour Show. Hosted by Abraham Gonzalez. You know what you came for. Yes, indeed. This where you come to get your info. Listen up. Other shows throw in the towel.
It's the Boxer Rush Hour Show. Let's go. In the ring, we throw hands, octagon elbows. Analytical, critical commentary is necessary. A bevy of opinions. We heavy on the winning. This podcast is due. Break down the pay-per-view. For Boxer Purvis, yo, let this man through. We rise right, surprise sight at the prize fight. Hands taped up and gloves tied tight. Ring the bell, want some, get some. Let the chip fall where they may. Work the George Crumb.
All right, welcome back to the Boxing Rush Hour Show. I am your host, Abraham Gonzalez. As always, intro music by Lewis Heaton. And the podcast is powered by Sofrito Rico. It's where the champions eat. Visit sofritorico.com for details. Okay, so, man, it's been something of a crazy week. And this past weekend, there was a really good fight between Michael Conlan and Wood. Man, you know, these guys, it was on the zone. These guys went crazy. Lee Wood, guys went crazy. Mick Conlan scored a knockdown. I believe it was like in the first round. Thought that he was going to finish him. And then, like towards the middle of the fight, something happened. Wood started coming on, scored a knockdown, which looked like a slip in the 11th, and then knocked Conlan through the ropes and out of the ring in round 12, scoring the upset victory. It was crazy. Man, what a fight. But that was last Saturday. This Saturday, we have a card from Southern California, the Zone Golden Boy. Virgil Ortiz is no longer in the main event. He got sick. So now the main event is Alexis Rocha against Blair Cobbs. And then the co-main will now be Jesus Antonio Perez fighting Michael McKinson, who was supposed to fight Virgil Ortiz. Then on the on ESPN, you have Edgar Berlanger against Steve Rolls. And then you have Xander Zayas, who will be fighting on as the co-main event. He's going to be on there. Bruce Carrington, Shushu, is going to be on there. That's going to be a good card to watch on ESPN. The undercards will be on the plus. So take a look at it and see which one you want to see first and then watch later, or watch both. Seeing how these ESPN cards have been going lately, you might be able to catch the Zone and still catch the ESPN one before the main event. So, but that's this weekend. And Star Boxing, if for those in New York, they have a show in Long Island at the Paramount. Excuse me, it's called the Rockin' Fights 41 this Friday. So if you're in that area, they still got tickets available. If not, Fight TV will have it for about $20, I think it is. All right, so moving on along to my guest this week. He is probably one of the top designers for boxing, for boxers that, you know, with their outfits, you know, ring attire, the whole nine. He's everywhere. You know, Canelo, Pacquiao, every you know, whoever you can name, he's probably done something with them. So his name is Javier Zinzu, and his company is I Got My Own Back. And he will get into all of that on why he named that company I Got My Own Back. He has an incredible story. He's working on a ton of things. He was, you know, designer for Creed 2, did a bunch of stuff. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Javier Zinzu. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Boxing Rush Hour show. My next guest is a contributor to the sport. And when I say contributor, I don't want to downplay it because we're going to get into the whole situation. But he is a contributor to the sport of boxing. He is your favorite fighter's favorite designer. His name is Javier Zinzu Jr. How's it going?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for the intro.
Yeah, no doubt. Your favorite fighter's favorite designer, man. And I think that's an understatement, actually, because you've done some pretty creative things. I'd say really creative things. And we're going to get into all of that. But first, I want to kind of get a little bit of a background on you per se, Javier, the person. If you can let everyone know,
okay,
who you are, where you're from, and sort of growing up from where, you know, specifically where you're from, how it was, a family dynamic, stuff like that.
I cut out right there for a second. What was that last part?
Yeah, no, if you could just kind of give us a bio blast, who you are, where you're from, family dynamic, you know.
All right. So I am born in Santa Ana, California. I was actually raised there until I was about 5 years old. To be honest, that's actually where I started hustling, because at that age, I was pushing carts at Target. Because back then, when you would put your cart away after you were done shopping, it actually gave you a quarter. So obviously my dad, you know, he had three kids. He worked in the fields of Orange County picking oranges. My mother, she would basically watch us push carts. It would be me and my middle brother while my little brother sat with her. And that's actually what we used to eat, because we didn't have money back in the days, right? My dad obviously did everything he could to provide. He worked two jobs. So if people ask me, like, yo, what was your childhood like? I'm like, you know what? It was pretty hard, just because, you know, I didn't really get a chance to spend too much time with my dad as a kid, because he was always working. And he worked at obviously picking oranges in the morning and at a warehouse making sponges in the afternoon. So that was actually my toys back in the days, was sponges, right? So we lived in Santa Ana, right there off Bruce Street, right next to the OC Register building. That's where I grew up, right in the barrio right there. Right? And it's crazy, because like a lot of people always believe that, because if you come from like a family like that, where, you know, you started literally from the bottom. And I'm not gonna lie, we lived in an apartment with two families. It was our family and my uncle's family, two bedroom. So I legit grew up in a room where it was like a mattress, all five of us on the mattress. So,
wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and then like when I got out of school, like we would go and I'd push carts, right? Because we would use that money to buy food. And then after that, we'd go and we'd sit at church, Guadalupe Church right there in Santa Ana. So I'd sit there while my mother was there praying, obviously, you know, so we can hopefully have better lives, you know, in the future. And so things would get better. Obviously being thankful for the little bit that we were able to get. So I spent most of my times like pushing carts and also eating hamburgers at the gas station, because like that's what we use the money for, is to buy food at the gas station. And I spent like my nights mainly right there at church. And also my mom would clean up this gentleman's house. It was an older gentleman, and his wife. They both lived together across the street from the church. So literally it was either working or sitting in church while my mom prayed, or watching my mom clean this really nice family's house across the street. So that was basically my childhood. And from there, my dad moved us to Tustin, California, because obviously, you know, they told everybody, hey, everybody's got to get out of this neighborhood. We're going to break it down. We're going to build like car lots where they sell cars and stuff like that. So we're all forced to move to Tustin, where I spent the next 5 years of my life. But my dad ended up moving us out of Tustin because a lot of gangs were starting to come in there in Tustin. So my dad was kind of afraid for one of us to kind of end up in that lifestyle. And I had a couple cousins actually that were starting to kind of like get moved into that lifestyle that were living with us, currently live with us. So when we moved to Tustin, I had family members that moved in with us. And a couple of them were obviously like becoming a product of the environment, basically, right? So I'm not going to lie, when you grow up with like that kind of an environment, and I grew up watching a lot of gangster movies as a kid, like Blood In, Blood Out, American Me, The Godfather, Scarface, which that's why I encourage kids not even to, so if you're going to watch stuff like that, don't get influenced by it. Just watch it as a form of entertainment. Okay, it's a movie, right? Because then sometimes you start to want to live lifestyles like that because you're like, yo, I kind of like that lifestyle. I like living life on the edge, you know what I mean? And all that. So I'm not going to lie, I was watching stuff like that. And I would say in the beginning, also, my dad was a big drinker. So to be honest, that's why I ended up becoming an alcoholic growing up, right? Because I had anger issues. I was one of those kids that felt like that I never felt like I deserved anything, right? Because every time I wanted something, you know, my parents were like, nah, I can't have that, or it's too expensive, or we can't afford it. So I was never a fan of that. Like, also, if I wanted to go eat somewhere, we couldn't afford it. So it's like, literally, you were just whatever we could scrape and, like, you know, buy from the gas station or little stores like that. Like, that's literally like what we ate when we were kids. And to be honest, I never liked that feeling. So that's why, as I was growing up, right, I was kind of I always felt like I deserve that. I deserve the good stuff. I deserve this. So that's why, I'm not going to lie, I ended up doing a lot of stupid things as I was growing up. I was a very angry individual. So, to be honest, that's why I started started training at a boxing / MMA gym.
Fan of the sport. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was always a big fan of the sport, right? Of boxing. And because the thing is, why did I like boxing so much? Because some of the happiest moments of my life was when we were watching boxing fights, right? When we were watching Mike Tyson, Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez, El Maromero Páez, like, my dad got all of us in the boxing, and it was like back in the days when everybody used to buy a ticket. Hey, you know what round is he going to knock him out and all that fun stuff, right? So it was cool that, I got a chance to, that's some of the happiest moments of my life was all of us coming together. Cause when you have a childhood, that's just always like, you know, it's always down and depressing. Like, you know, when you get together with your family, carne asadas and stuff like that. Right. So that's kind of like, one second, my phone just got hot.
There you go.
Second.
Yeah.
Let me see if this. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on, testing. Can you hear me again? Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, those are some of the happiest moments of my life. Was when when we used to watch boxing. So obviously when you watch it, you know, in the Hispanic culture, obviously, you know, we love boxing. It's our thing, you know, it's our sport next to soccer. So obviously me growing up, I used to watch that. And the funny thing is when I was a kid, I remember one of my uncles came up to me and he goes, hey, what kind of music do you listen to? And I was like, oh, you know, I listen to Los Humildes, Los Tucanes, right? And then he goes, no. He goes, you know what? This is the kind of music you got to listen to. And I remember as well, I was watching boxing. We were watching a fight. It was one of the Chavez fights. And I remember my uncle comes up to me and he gives me a CD. It's called Slippery When Wet, Bon Jovi. And I saw the clothing they were wearing and I was like, yo, this clothing looks pretty cool. You know what I mean? The snake skins and all that. And then as I'm watching the boxing outfits, I'm also noticing, you know, the boxing outfits at the same time. So I was always like, yo, this is pretty cool. You know, I'm like, has anybody ever thought about incorporating some of this kind of stuff? But I thought about this as a kid. Like, I started liking clothing and I started liking fashion as a kid. I was like, yo, I like stuff that stands out like that, right? That's why I'm wearing like an 80s style, like wash shirt. So then I'm over here watching this and I always thought like, oh, that looks pretty cool. But I never actually thought that one day I'd be doing what I was actually acknowledging back in the days, right? Which is the fact that, you know, I was like, yo, these outfits are pretty interesting. So the reason why when everybody says, you know, why do you love boxing so much? Because that was some of the happiest moments of my life. Like my whole family came together. We all got together. We had a good time. We cheered, sit there cheering at the TV. So it was some of the happiest moments of my life, obviously, especially when you're going through a lot as a kid, like as a troubled teenager, right? As a troubled teenager, like obviously these moments really like they really put a smile on your face. But to be honest, as I'm getting older now, like, I'm not going to lie, I was an alcoholic, right? I kind of chose that path of like, you know, I considered myself like a lost angel, right? That got kind of involved with other lost angels. You know what I mean? So when my dad moved us out of Tustin, he moved us to a complete white neighborhood, Irvine, California, right? Because he got a job with the company over there in Irvine. So he brought us over there. Man, I was picked on for the next 3 years of my life for being Hispanic. Like, I was just picked on bad. So bullying now, right? So now it's like you got the troubles of the world growing up a broke kid, right? Then after that, if your life moves into like now being bullied because of being Mexican, not having money, because I even got bullied because my parents were together. You know what I mean? Wow. That doesn't even make any sense. But I was bullied because like, oh, you think you're cool because your parents are together? I was like, nah, I didn't even say that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like a soft kid. You know what I mean? And I was kind of like a soft puppy that just kept getting picked on and picked on and picked on. What happens to a puppy when it gets picked on so much?
Yeah, it starts biting.
So then that's what ended up happening, was that was happening with me, is that my anger just started growing and growing to the point that where, yeah, I got into high school. I became a troublemaker. I cared more about doing dumb stuff rather than, you know, being a good kid. So I'm not going to lie, I got in trouble. I got kicked out of my high school. I wasn't accepted in other high schools, got sent to a continuation school. So it's kind of like a troubled teenager, basically, right? Just literally just doing the stupidest thing. Everything stupid you can think of, I did, right?
Yeah.
And what was I going to say? So it got to the point at that point in my life where I was a guy who just didn't feel anything, no emotions. I was just literally just an angry individual. So I actually used to ride on top of cars on the freeway to try to feel something as a person.
Oh, shit.
So because I wanted to live life on the edge. And what ended up happening after that is I ended up hanging out with some gangster people, you know what I mean? And I kind of started going in that direction where I thought it was cool to be surrounded with these kind of people. You know what I mean? Like, I like being around troublemakers and people that were out there kind of, you know, not doing the best things out there, basically, right? I don't want to get too much into detail because I did get into some really serious trouble. I was looking at 6 years in prison. Wow. That's a whole nother story. But
yeah.
So what people don't know is that, right, like, my life's crumbling down, right? I don't want to make this conversation too depressing, but I was really, my life was crumbling down, and I ended up hitting rock bottom when I overdosed February 17, 2011, right? So I you name it, it happened to me, right? You know what I mean? I had a gun pulled to my head. I've been shot at, etc. Like, I ended up joining that world because I wanted to be a part of something, right? And me living life on the edge was like a high. Like, I love being drunk and just living life on the edge and all, you know, doing a lot of stupid things. So now I'm 11 years sober. Thank God he gave me another chance. You know what I mean? So I'm 11 years sober now. So to trust me, man, like, after my overdose and as I'm overdosing, imagine, like, you're overdosing now. You get like a movie of your life just kind of plays right as you're slowly overdosing. My body's shutting down, everything. I haven't eaten in 3 weeks. It's just been nothing but pills and alcohol. Just me banging, bam, boom, boom, pills and alcohol. Just no food. I was surviving off pills and alcohol. So my body dried up. So when I woke up on February 17, 2011, I woke up and I felt like shit. You know what I mean? I just felt like, yo, like, I can't even, like, I couldn't process anything in my brain that day. And to be honest, I just had enough battery in my phone to call 911 and let them know what street I was on. I couldn't even tell them the cross streets.
Wow.
I just told them what street I was on and what I could see around me. That was the only thing I was able to tell them. And I kid you not, my body shut down on me. My body shut down, and then, like, everything went pitch black. Everything went pitch black. And after that, like, literally, I don't even know where the heck I went. I was, like, in a dark place. So I already figured, damn, man, you went to hell. You know what I mean? It was scary. It was probably one of the most scariest experiences, especially when you see your life flash before your eyes. Like, I felt all that pain. I went from a guy who didn't feel emotions, right? I didn't feel any emotion. Because I already saw myself as a failure because everybody said it. Everybody said I would never accomplish anything. Even when I graduated from continuation school, even my own dad said, congratulations, like, you graduated for coloring. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody kind of kept shutting me down and telling me that I would never accomplish anything. So the bullying along with my childhood, kind of like, you know, never really having a childhood, kind of spending more time working as a kid rather than actually having a childhood. So it's like, it was just accumulation of everything in me, like, I wasn't a good person for many years. You know what I mean? I admit. And everything hit me all at once when I overdosed. So it's like all the pain, all the tears, it hit me in that moment when I'm overdosed. You know what I mean? And it's like in that point in my life, all I did, like, was ask God. I was like, you know what? I hurt my family the most. If you could just let me see them one more time before you take me, because I already felt like that's it, bro. You're done. This is it. Right. So what ended up happening was my eyes opened up. But hold on, before my eyes opened up, I hear loud noises. But they're loud noises, but they're at a distance. It's like somebody yelling out your name, but you're like, what the heck? Where are they? You know what I mean? Nice. I hear them, but where are they? So I'm in a room now, like in this darkness, and I'm like, what the heck? I hear loud noises, but I don't know where it is, where it's coming from. And I'm tripping out by myself because I'm like, I don't know where is this coming from, right? So the noises start getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And then I finally hear, his eyes are open, like boom, right in my ear. And I opened up my eyes a little bit and I looked in the mirror, like in the rear mirror, right? And there's a freaking paramedic on top working on me, right? And I don't even feel him on top of me. I can't even like make out what he's saying anymore. But I looked in the mirror and I see the cops holding back my mom and my brother, and they're both screaming my name. My mom's like, that's my son. And my brother's like, hey, that's my brother. Like, they're trying to get in, trying to figure out what's happening. I'm pale white. I can't move. I'm sitting there just completely looking like death, right? I looked at myself in the mirror. All I remember was one teardrop coming out and thanking God. He said, you know what? If you would have given me a second chance, I would have lived life differently. I would have done something with my life. I would have actually, you know, tried at something. I wouldn't have been such an F up, basically. You know what I mean? So in that moment when that happened, and I saw them, everything went pitch black again. So I just said, thank you. I saw them and everything went pitch black.
Wow.
So it's like the thing is, that's why people don't understand, like, that the name I Got My Own Back really came from this company, from my life. Because when my dad sat in the room with me after, you know, because after I was in the hospital, the doctor says, hey, man, I heard about the way you've been living your life. So you already know what that path led you to, all your depression, holding on to all that anger, holding on to all that like sadness. Now you see where that led you. But today, right now, you could write a brand new story and you could start telling a brand new story about your life. You know what I mean? Like, you could start telling a brand new story right now. Today's a brand new day. And then I'm not gonna lie, I got emotional. I just started crying because I was like, damn, because the guy goes, 5 more minutes. If the ambulance wasn't there, you're not here. That's all I got to tell you. 5 more minutes, you would have been gone. I was like, damn, fully gone. That's it. You ain't no coming back. I was like, so that moment, shit, man. It's like the years of all the years accumulated, and I freaking just cried like crazy. Yeah. So then, what's it called? So then, obviously, you know, I finally get to go home. I go home, dump out all the pills. They finally got like everything in my system, like vitaminas and all that at the hospital, right? So then I finally got there, you know, dumped out all the pills, dumped out all the alcohol. Everything was just dumped it all out, cut it cold turkey. I had all these like depressing pictures in my room of like angels falling from heaven, like all this like dark shit. So I started taking everything down. I started posting up pictures of like boxing, and I started putting up pictures of like landscapes, just beautiful things. You know what I mean? Like the ocean, just things to get my mind in a good place. So I remember I cut everything cold turkey. So now the hard part was trying to get sober and not trying to go back to it again. So now I'm in a room locked up trying to get myself sober now. So that this thing, you know, so I don't get sick anymore, right? With these drugs anymore. I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna try to get sober. So while I was trying to get sober, I came up with a company name, and my dad walks in. He goes, hey, so what are you gonna do next? You know, so what's your plan? I'm like, you know what, dad, I'm gonna start a company. It's gonna be a personal training company. I'm like, he's like, what are you gonna call it? I said, you know what, I'm gonna call this company IGMOB. He goes, what does that mean? I'm like, it's called I Got My Own Back. He's like, why'd you choose that name? I said, because I'm in control of my destiny. I'm in control of my story. Nobody's going to tell me what I can and can't do. And if I do fall, I'm going to get my ass back up. I'm not going to expect anybody to come do that for me anymore. Whatever's opinions people are, I'm going to shut everybody's opinions off. And I'm in control of my destiny. The only person that I'm ever going to compete against is myself. I'm not here to do things for the wrong reasons. I'm not here to do these things to rub it, throw it in your face. Nobody. No, I'm thankful for what you guys have done. All I ask is please don't ever bring up my past, because I'm about to start writing a brand new story. And I did. I was right there is when I started. So I said, you know what? I got to go to my car real quick. So I went to my car and I told myself, when I step out of this car, I'm going to turn the page and I'm never going to look back. So I got in my car and I cried. I just cried like crazy. You know, I just cried everything out, like everything that I just happened. And then I screamed. I screamed so loud that my voice just went numb. So after that, I went home. But as soon as I walked out of the car, I felt like a brand new man. Like, you know what? We turned the page. No more living life in sorrow, thinking, oh, why me? Why me? No, we're going to change our destiny starting this moment. Right. So from that moment, yeah, I basically walked in the house. And every time that I craved alcohol or pills, I would start drawing or I would start watching a boxing fight, right? I would start, there we go. So ever since then, I would start drawing or I would start writing or I would start sketching out ideas. You know what? One day I'm going to design t-shirts. One day I'm going to work on a movie. I'm going to work with the biggest name in boxing. One day I'm going to, you know, everything that I'm writing down, check them all off. I've already done all of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So with that, you were pretty much like brainstorming a little bit and getting all these different ideas of the things that you wanted to accomplish shortly after, you know, this whole, you know, situation that you've gone through. And then how out of that brainstorming, how did it go into the boxing or which direction did it go in first?
Well, I figured since the name is called I Got My Own Back, I said it only makes sense to be involved in fighting, right? Which is something that I've always had a passion for. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start personal training people. And that's how I started. I actually started with like calling my tias up and they're like, hey, can I train you guys in like rich neighborhoods? You know what I mean? So people can see and ask me to train them. And yeah, I started bringing my tias and my mom's friends from church and I would train them like with the pads. You know what I mean? And people, hey, are you a boxing trainer? Of course. And then they would be like, card, and I'd do my card. So I actually started getting clientele. All during this time now, I got detectives that knock on my door. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, we're looking for your son. And I'm over there like, oh, what the hell just happened? You know, we believe he might be involved in some stuff. I was like, damn. So and now I'm getting sued for hundreds and thousands of dollars. I'm looking at jail time. All while I'm trying to start a brand new life. So in my head, I'm like, God, if you say that this is one of the obstacles I have to go through to start all over again, that's fine with me, man. But because I brought all these problems onto myself. You know what I mean? So now imagine when I'm a personal trainer with the money that I'm making there and working security, I'm paying my lawyers so I can not go to jail. So all my money is going to my lawyers. And at the same time, I'm over here trying to like make money as a personal trainer. But then I started realizing, you know what? I don't really like personal training anymore. It's kind of like I feel like I can't survive off of it. Right. So after that, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make some t-shirts. And I made one t-shirt and I wrote, I got my own pack on it. The funny thing is when I started going out, people started asking me if that was a clothing brand. And I said, you know what? As a matter of fact, it is. And that's how I moved into starting making t-shirts. Cause I was like, yo, you know, people like this. So after that, what did I do? I started selling some of my belongings. So I grabbed some of my watches. I went to a pawn shop, sold them, right? Got some money and I made one shirt design. I printed 800 t-shirts, bro. I went to the freaking StubHub, tried selling them. I got kicked off and I didn't even get a chance to sell one t-shirt. So it's like, so basically from there, I knew that I wanted people to know my name and I know I wanted people to know that I Got My Own Back is going to be the next biggest brand, right? But to be honest, I actually almost quit because I wasn't getting any love in the fight scene. Like I would try to go and like try to get people to wear my stuff and be like, oh no, we got this other company that's paying us to wear their stuff. So it was very discouraging because nobody wanted to work with me. So I was like, damn, and everybody's asking me for money. I don't got money to pay people like that. I'm barely starting. I'm barely trying to survive myself. So then I was actually gonna quit until a really nice guy named George Estrada, Mr. Knockout, rest in peace. He calls me and he goes, hey man, I heard of your brand. I'm like, hey bro, to be honest, I'm about to just stop it already, man. Like I'm probably gonna go back to personal training. He goes, no. That brand is the future of boxing. Wow. I was like, you think so? And he goes, I want you to meet two fighters. He's like, I want you to meet Jose El Gato Roman and Jesse Roman. They're both from Garden Grove, California, undefeated fighters that are prospects. I was like, all right. So then I go and I meet him at Boxing 2000 in Garden Grove, and that was the first time I ever got fighters to wear it. So the first fight I ever saw live was actually at the StubHub when I went to go. The first fight that I ever saw was Andy Ruiz.
Wow. So those two fighters were pretty much your first clients then?
Yeah, I was going to say Jose El Gato Roman and Jesse Roman were the first two fighters that I got. And to be honest, after that, I just started designing free t-shirts for the next 3 years. So I designed for like Sergio Yeo Thompson. I designed for a lot of the guys that Clemente Medina had at the time. You know what I mean? I did like a bunch of stuff for like, there was an Elite Pro Boxing. It's a gym right there in Norwalk, which I'm actually currently passing by right now. It's kind of funny. But that's where I started. I started designing for Prince Tiger Smalls. His dad was Tiger Smalls. So I started designing for him. And then after that, I heard that there's a new kid in town that I just heard about. And I started designing him some t-shirts for his first professional fight. His name was Ryan Garcia, right? In Tijuana. So now I'm building relationships with these guys. I'm designing all free t-shirts for all these guys. Edwin Sandoval, for Saul Bustos, for the Arte Twin, all guys that are right here in Norwalk. And then people started finding out, hey, this guy's designing free shirts for people. So I was, because I was investing my money in so that hopefully my name could be shown everywhere. Right? So before you know it, people know who I was designing free stuff. But the cool thing is that all these guys now are now my clients. You know what I mean? So, I mean, my dad even gave me a bunch of shit. And he goes, Jared, why are you designing for free? You know what I mean? He goes, you should be charging these people. And I'm like, nah, dad. I'm like, right now I'm building my name. He goes, you're working 2.5 jobs, one to stay out of jail and the other one to give away free products. I'm like, trust me, this brand is going to be the biggest thing. I'm going to make it the biggest thing in boxing. So the funny thing is, he goes, you think you selling little t-shirts, you're going to become the next biggest thing? I was like, no, look, I designed the very first ever light up boxing robe. He goes, what is that? And I'm like, yeah, I'm designing a light up boxing robe, and I'm there sketching it out. And actually it was worn by Mauricio Herrera when he was the co-main event when Amir Khan fought Canelo. So he wore my light up boxing robe. So the funny thing is, like, I went from personal training to t-shirts to boxing ropes. And to be honest, it's a lot longer story, because I mean, I was getting kicked. It's funny because a few people have approached me recently, and when I walk into their gyms, they're like, you know who this guy is? They're like, yeah, that's the world's number one boxing designer. They're like, no, this guy used to sell t-shirts out of the back of his truck at Thompson fights. He used to park, sell t-shirts out of there. He's like, sometimes he wouldn't sell anything, but he'd be sitting there just trying to sell shirts. It's like waving them around, hanging them on hangers. I'm like, yo, that's crazy that you guys remember that. And they're like, this guy's been putting in work. Now, I'm going to be real with you. When I started, there was about 7 other t-shirt brands that started. But the thing was, all of them were connected to somebody in the industry. So they were all getting the exposure like crazy. And I was being left behind because everybody was connected to this fighter, to this promoter, or to this manager. So they were helping their brands getting pushed. Who was the only guy riding solo who nobody, he didn't know anybody? That was me. Yeah. So, but the thing is, me, I had such a strong belief in my company that I was like, you know what? I'm not competing against any of them, and I wish them all luck, because they're all trying to put food on the table and they're all trying to become a big brand as well. I said, so me, my mentality has always been just focus on you. You know what I mean? Just focus on, applaud them and wish them, you know, good luck. But you, applaud you. I'm not going to lie. There have been some other brands that have been rude to me, right? They've told me that in the beginning that my work sucked. I won't say who they are, but they actually came up to me and they insulted my work. They said, oh, that's your work? Like, it's not very good. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's all, I'm like, you know what, man? I'm like, there's so many fighters out there. There's enough business for everybody. And that's what I feel is the mentality, is like, you're not supposed to sit there and hate on another man for trying because you don't know what he's been through. They don't know that God gave me a second chance at life. Why would you go shut down a guy who literally just woke up from death and who just wants another chance at life? Why would you try to push him, kick him down again, if the guy's just trying to get back up again? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why mentality's always been, don't shut down the other guys because you don't know what they're going through.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. And you know, doing these things for these fighters, I'm interested in knowing the process of making something for someone. So how does that work when, you know, you are with a fighter and are trying to come up with the idea of what they're going to be wearing? Like, how does that work?
You know what the funny thing is? 90% of the fighters just tell me, do whatever you want. They just give me the colors. So they just tell me, do whatever. And it said, the funny thing is that, check this out, like, I'm very, very hard on myself. I'm my biggest critic. People say that I'm like, I had a guy, my boys over at, Boxeo LV in Las Vegas, they spoke very highly about me. You know what I mean? They're like, JR, you're changing the game. Like, you're like an artist in boxing. Like, your stuff is artwork. Like, it's beautifully done. But they see me as like, yo, your designs are over here, but I don't see it yet. I see it as like, I'm still on my journey to really becoming like they, like, I already got, Google already made me world's number one boxing designer because of my resume. You know what I mean? From working with Sony, from working with Sony Pictures, who I partnered with to do a documentary with, from working with obviously the biggest names in boxing, to working with YouTubers, TikTokers, like, they're like, yo, this is the only guy that's really doing everything. Movies, Creed, and stuff like that. So to be honest, like, when it comes to the design process, like Ryan just told me, like, I want to look like, you know, like King Ryan is back, right? So now, you as your creative mind, what does that look like? What does a warrior who's been out of the game for a minute, who's trying to show, hey, I'm back now, how are you going to put that on clothing?
Yeah.
Right? How are you going to put that on clothing? So that's where my mind comes in. And I think to myself, I know Ryan Garcia. I know him really, really well, right? So now in my head, I'm like, okay, you know what? Ryan Garcia, what do I picture him wearing as a man who's trying to prove something now?
Well, it looks like I lost the connection there, and we're hoping that we can. Yep, there it is. Go ahead. I lost you there for a second.
So basically, when it comes to fighters, when they ask you as a designer, they have chosen you as their artist. So they have actually put their trust in you that you're going to create that image in your mind and you're going to bring it to life. You know what I mean? And I've been, I'm not going to lie, to me, the reason why I love doing this is the reactions when they see the final product. Like, that's why now the WBC, I was talking to Jill Diamond, right? She's the vice president of WBC. And we spent the weekend over there in Biloxi, Mississippi, because I spoke at an amateur event, 700 kids, right? And she's like, I was talking to her and I said, look, I'm like, the outfits play a big role. That's why I was in Ring Magazine, because they also felt like, wait a minute, why are we not talking about the designers? You know what I mean? Like, why isn't the designer mentioned? He plays a big role, right? Especially, it's a confidence builder when you put that outfit on. It's, you should, I'm not going to lie, I wish I could record all the reactions, which is something that I am working on right now, because the reactions to when they see their outfits is the most beautiful moment. It's a moment that myself, the fighter, and everybody that's watching has, right? Together, like, damn. It's kind of like West Coast Customs when they reveal the car at the end, except with boxing outfits. So it got to the point where so what they do is the fighter will tell me what he wants, right? And now I have to go put that in. You got to understand, a fighter can only think about fighting. So they trust you to be the designer and the stylist who thinks, what would look good on me for my moment in my fight? So that's where I come in, and I have to actually sit there. I'm not going to lie, I have to do breathing exercises. I have to clear my mind. I don't know if you've seen the movie A Beautiful Mind, where the guy can move numbers in his head.
Yeah.
I can move colors and designs in my head. Like, I legitimately can sit here and think of a design. Like, I can just sit here and look at the color tones in my head. Sometimes I'll lay my head back. It's funny, because one time I was in a meeting, and the fighter's like, did he fall asleep? But it's because I went like this in my head. And my friend's like, oh no, he's designing. He's moving designs in his head right now. And they're like, what the heck? He's designing right now. He's like, yeah, he like just has to like shut everything out and just think about the design. Like, when I just met with a fighter recently, even with like Mungia, he goes, hey, what do you got an idea for? I'm like, you know what? I already see it. Let me just finish moving the parts around. It's literally like you're moving parts around in your head. And I'm like, wait a minute. No. And it's like, and you'll see me there like going like this, like moving my head, going like this. And that's because I'm processing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I do some things that are kind of weird, because I'm just sitting there like just like really like just dead stare, like, okay, hold on, blue, green, and green. I'll be like this. No, I don't like that. Move that here. No, okay, we gotta move. And it's literally what happens. So it's something that the thing is, I like to be original. If you've seen a lot of my work, it's very original, it's very different. And that's why fighters have been drawn to me, because, like, you know what? It not only are his outfits comfortable, because when I used to box, I hated how uncomfortable the shorts were. So one of the main reasons that they call me is because I build the most comfortable boxing shorts. And it's like fighters say, Canelo said it best. No se siente que traigo nada. It doesn't feel like I'm wearing anything. Like, it's so smooth and so relaxing to fight it, right? So that's why I do this, what I do, because I have a passion for it. See, I don't chase the money. I don't chase the money. I chase the stories. I've become a mentor in boxing now, where fighters call me after they win, after they lose, if they're not ready for the fight. They call me. Some of the three people that I had deep conversations in the same week were Victor Ortiz, Manny Pacquiao, and Ryan Garcia. that just goes to show you like how much people like to sit down with me and actually talk about life. You know what I mean? And I've become a mentor to a lot of guys in boxing that call me, whether it's relationship problems, whether it's problems with their managers, their dads, their trainers, whoever it is, their kids, they call me and they open up to me because they feel like, you know what? Number one, you're going to keep this between us. And number two, you're actually a good listener. Because when I was going through it and I felt like I was drowning, I felt like I had nobody to talk to. So that's why I like to, that's what I feel like my purpose is in the world. It's not to design these gorgeous outfits. It's to basically help people that need help, basically. And that's why I was in a car accident Sunday, but I made pools in four classrooms that I was going to go speak yesterday. I woke up feeling in pain. I felt like I had a hangover because my brain wasn't even rested, right? So I felt non-rested. I felt tired. And I woke up and I still went and I still spoke at all those classes. That's why I became an ambassador for the World Boxing Council CARES program. Mauricio Suleiman called me, he goes, hey, man, I heard about what you've been doing and I want to welcome you as an ambassador to the WBC CARES program. So, yeah, that's just a little bit about how I do it.
That's what's up, man. Now, I mean, you're in high demand, I'm sure. And so are you at a point where you have to kind of be selective with the people that you work with? Because you only got two hands.
You know, the thing is, I hired a bigger team. And this one guy made a really nice video about me. He's over there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So there was this one guy actually made a really nice video and he said, you know what? Let me tell you guys why I liked working with JR, because he treated me like I was Canelo, even though I only have two fights. The thing about me is I heard that other designers were turning down fighters. They weren't like big names or, you know, I mean, they're like being selective, right? And I told myself that I would never be that guy. Because I remember what it was like being a member, the guy who nobody knew. No connections in boxing, right? So since I remember how that felt, I never wanted any of these fighters to feel that, to feel like I don't want to work with the underdogs. So me, that's why my main purpose is to work with everybody and show everybody the same kind of respect. Because I don't want any fighters to ever feel like, damn, like this guy only works with the big timers. You know, it went to his head, because they deserve my product also. So to be honest, I had to spend more money to grow a bigger team, but at the same time, no fighter gets left behind.
Gotcha. All right. Now, you know, you mentioned some of the collaborators and some of the people that hired you, you know, earlier in the conversation. But I just want to kind of bring that out a little bit, you know, so that people could understand. You said you worked on Creed 2. You worked with Canelo and Ryan Garcia, just to name a few. What other brands or companies did you work outside of boxing?
I worked with Sony. I worked with Metro Goldwyn and Mayer, the big company that makes movies. I worked with Netflix on the show Kingdom. It's a show about MMA. I've actually styled some of the fighters there. The rest. I worked with Fluffy Gabriel Iglesias. He wore one of my boxing robes into the Staples Center sold out show. I worked with, let's just see here. Honestly, it's been a lot of celebrities, from even rock stars, Social Distortion. There's a rock band called Social. The lead singer wanted one of my shorts. I've also designed a short for the manager of the Dodgers, Dave Roberts. So honestly, I'd have to really look at my resume. I've worked with Netflix. I've worked on shows. I worked on movies. It's literally like the cool thing was working with Sony. That was an honor that, you know, they chose me to style and design and help with the documentary to tell the story of a fighter, Lázaro Lorenzana El Rey from San Diego, who I think has a beautiful story. I think we need more stories like that to kind of like help motivate people. But that's another one. And I worked with Logan Paul. Obviously, I worked with him. I've worked with a lot. There's a famous gamer company called the FaZe Clan. I worked with their guys too. So to be honest, I'm a guy right now in many different industries who's done a lot of different things. I'm just going to continue just killing it this year. Just going to do more projects and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is there anything that you can share now that you have lined up for the rest of the year?
I have a really big show that I'm throwing for my company this year in July. It's going to be big. I'm investing a lot of time and money into it because I want people to see, like, that I want to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I want to be the first designer in the Hall of Fame. I was the first designer in Ring Magazine, and I just heard from Jill Diamond that for 2022, I hope this is true. She told me this is true, that Mauricio Suleiman approved it so that they vote for 2022's Designer of the Year. So I really, these are all things that I really hope, you know, like, I want to be Designer of the Year. I want to be in the Hall of Fame one day as a designer. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be doing a huge show this year to prove to them, like, I'm not just a designer. I am an artist. And there's so many things that I want people to know about the world of boxing. And I'm going to show it in this show that I'm going to be doing. And yeah, it's going to be in July, August. So I'm really excited about that. Definitely. I mean, we're going to be releasing like equipment, like boxing gloves, because people have been asking me for gloves, hand wraps. So they like my new logo so much. They're like, hey, you know what? We want to see gloves. We want to see boxing wraps. We want to see sauna suits. So sauna suits are being released. I'm legit. I've been told that I'm going to be, I don't say this, but people say that I'm going to become the new era of, like, the new Everlast, basically.
Okay.
You know, they're like, you know what? You're basically going to be the new Everlast now. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what? I have respect for Everlast and what they've done for years. You know what I mean? And I have, to me and you, I have been asked by Everlast if I ever wanted it to, you know, team up, kind of design some outfits. But to be honest, as much as I respect their brands, I really want to focus on my right now and just continue to build it. I can't really say who other people are, but there have been other people that have approached me to work for them or work with them. And I want to make a name for myself, because that's my journey, is to make sure that this brand lives on for a very long time. And it's all about the quality and the love we have for the sport. That's why more like, how are you becoming so successful and how are you staying so humble throughout the years? I said, because who believes that all men are created equal? I don't see famous people. I don't see celebrities in my mind. I see people. You know what I mean? I see people. So that's why I treat everybody exactly the same. That's why people have asked me, like, hey, do you work with even amateurs and fighters people don't know? I'm like, yeah, because we're all people. I don't see statuses. I'm excited and I'm honored. Like, when I got a call that Eddie Reynoso wanted me to come over because Canelo wanted me to design for him, like, to me, that felt amazing, because I was like, hey, that was one of my goals. I wanted to work with the top dog in boxing, and, you know, I fulfilled that goal. So, honestly,
lost you there for a second. I got
you. Carry out?
Yeah, I got you.
So one thing that I really, really want to do, and my goal is to design a WBC belt.
That's interesting. And I mean, that's
a goal of mine. Is it, 'cause I mean, I'm already, I don't know if you saw my new Apocalypse video design that I just released.
No, I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Well, if you type in, I got my own back on YouTube, watch the one, it's called Apocalypse Design. That's me moving into a new style of designing and also becoming more of an artist like Banksy. You know how Banksy releases artwork and has something that has like a story that goes with it? That's kind of what I did with that new video, because that's the kind of content I want to be doing.
Oh man, that's what's up, man. And so you got a lot of stuff going on, and it's all positive things, and in continuing with that positive stuff, given everything that you've gone through, is there a message that you want to just kind of tell folks that might be listening that are going through, you know, some of the similar things that you mentioned? And probably just need to hear, you know, some positive words coming from someone that was there and has made it through.
Honestly, and I like that question, because it's something that I tell everybody. I say, look, you know, nobody in reality is perfect. And unfortunately, we chase success and we chase success. I tell everybody this. The point of life is not to chase success, and it's not to chase accomplishments, right? Because when you chase success, the moment you reach success, it's a high for a moment, and then you get over it, right?
And then after that, you get lost with just chasing this. Now, accomplishments, it's like climbing a mountain. I'm going to climb to the top of that mountain. I get to the top of that mountain. Oh my God, there's a bigger mountain. So you're constantly climbing. So I tell everybody, are you really ever happy because you're constantly not satisfied? So I tell everyone, number one, don't ever, ever, ever believe everything you see, because sometimes things might look, you know, bright and shiny and beautiful, but at the same time, you don't know what everybody's going through. We could all smile, but we're all going through something. We're all dealing with an obstacle, right? You probably got your own story. Everybody has their own story. No one's life is perfect. Try to enjoy it, because look, I had a cousin who recently passed at 45 years old, one of my biggest supporters, right? When she was dying on her bed at home, all she wanted to do was wake up tomorrow. That's all she wanted, was to wake up tomorrow. Because why? She didn't know when her last day was going to be. Now, we wake up each day, and what do we think? Oh, man, I got bills to pay. Oh, man, I'm broke. Oh, man, I hate my life. But yet, there are people that wish that they can wake up today, and we take that for granted, which is something that's given to us for free. A smile is free. A smile is free. The people that we, honestly, just surround yourself with positivity. And if you see people that are hurting, honestly, it's nice to hear their stories, because sometimes when you hear what other people are going through, you realize, holy shit, like, some people really do have some serious issues, and I'm over here complaining about this. You see what I mean? And I tell everybody, I'm like, look, be thankful to be alive each day. I'm thankful that I'm alive each day. And no journey is ever going to be easy, whether it's the journey to try to do something with your life, whether it's the journey to become sober. No journey is ever going to be easy. If anybody ever told you life was easy, they're crazy. Because nothing ever comes easy. But you know what's good about things that don't come easy, and why I love the struggle? Because it taught me how to value, which is what I tell people. You want to know why I value everything now? Because it wasn't easy to get here. But I love the fact that God threw all these obstacles at me. And I believe this, if a door doesn't open up for me, it's because I'm not meant to go through it yet. It means that there's still life lessons that I need to learn. And that's what I try to teach people. Do not get discouraged if things don't go your way for a month, a year, 2 years. Things didn't go my way for 6 years, right? Look at me now. I am at the best point of my life. I'm super happy. I get to, you know what I mean? That there's so many things that I've done that I'm proud of, but now I'm not going to be hard on myself if things don't go right, or if maybe I don't do another, if I don't accomplish something else, like, it's okay. It's about being thankful to be alive today.
That's what's up, man. Hey, those, for everyone listening, man, it couldn't have been said any better. Now, for everyone that's listening that wants to follow your journey and wants to, you know, tap into all of your stuff, plug all of your websites, social media, all that, go plug away.
So my Instagrams, I got my own back _ fighter. If you want to hear more motivating stuff, I have a personal Instagram, which is Mr.Zinzun, my last name, Zinzun. You could also get a lot of updates on my website. I got my own back.com. If you want to just send me an email because you're going through it and you just need someone to talk to, I got my own back @gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Facebook, it's IGMOBX Fighter X. If you want to follow me on TikTok, I got my own back _ fighter. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I got my own back.
And before I forget, shout out to Big Zena, who put us together. You know, she's a great individual, and
she's amazing.
She linked me and you together. And so shout out to Zena. I know you're going to be sipping your Dunkin' Donuts coffee somewhere. So shout out to you.
Honestly, Zena, I there's not even words to describe how much, because it's crazy how sometimes people that don't know you are your biggest supporters. And the fact that she's done so much for me, you know, that she's actually the one that got the WBC in contact with me, because she's like, hey, this guy, I believe in him. And it's the fact that she believes in me without, you know, but just what she's seen and just seeing my dedication, like there's no words to describe how thankful I am for what she's done for me, because I was a man who nobody ever believed in him. And it's beautiful to see that a stranger believed in me so much that she's willing to help me throughout my journey and continues to help me throughout my journey. She's honestly, I can't even find the right words for someone like her, but we need more people like her.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. Hey, Javier, thank you for coming on. I truly enjoyed this conversation with you. I wish you the best of luck. Continue to do your thing. And hopefully I catch you at a fight soon, maybe in May or something.
Sounds good, brother. Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm definitely going to try to, so yeah, definitely let me know if you go to the fights and send me a text. We'll definitely link up. We'll get some nachos.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You take it easy, man. God bless
you. Thank you, brother. Thank you again.
Okay. All right, bye.
The Boxing Rush Hour Show, hosted by Abraham Gonzalez. The Boxing Rush Hour Show.